Okay, we had a request for a birthday song today. We sing happy birthday all year round, but today we were requested to sing happy birthday to our Savior Jesus Christ. So if we can gather together, don't want to interrupt all your fellowship, but we're trying to have church here. Here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. How many people got what they wanted for Christmas? Anybody get anything they wanted for Christmas? I was at a breakfast a couple of weeks ago. I shared it with the 9:30 crowd last week that a friend of mine, Kenny Grant, some of you know Kenny, but he was at a breakfast a couple of weeks ago, and he said something that I thought really struck to me, that when the angels came to the shepherds, they told the shepherds that unto today there was a Savior born, that God knew what we needed was a Savior. I mean, he could have said He could have given us a great preacher, you know, but that's not what we really needed, even though Jesus was a great preacher. And of all the names that we use for Jesus, the one that's probably the most important to us is Savior, because that's what we needed. Maybe not so much what we thought we wanted sometimes. Maybe you didn't get that Lexus with the bow on the top outside. Maybe you didn't get that this Christmas. But one thing that we got, we needed, which was a Savior. And this song says it the best to me. We sang it last night. We sing Silent Night. I'd like to sing it again today.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Sleep in heaven.
praise offering. Over the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from child from heaven, and falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due.
See, hail to the King.
seated.
I'd like for all the children who'd like to come and join me down here. We're going to share a story together. Come on. All right. This book I'm going to read this story out of is a book that I've read to all three of my children. And my oldest, as I was leaving the house this morning, he said, "Dad, I remember that book." He's 32 now. And glad to have little Joey down here with us today. But it's a book that has Christmas stories in it, and that are all about the real Christmas story. And today I want to read one entitled "The City That Forgot About Christmas." All right? You'll get the picture there. You see the picture? All right. "There was once a city that had forgotten about God. The people were selfish and mean. The healthy people did not take care of the sick. The sick people complained. The hungry stole food. The children fought. The grown-ups scowled and shouted. Nobody smiled anymore. And worst of all, because the people of this city had forgotten the meaning of love, they had also forgotten the true meaning of Christmas." See how bad the people look? "Christmas Day was like any ordinary day. Nobody sang the joyous Christmas songs. No mothers cooked a special Christmas dinner. No fathers helped their children trim a Christmas tree. There are no mysterious packages, no stockings hung by the fireside. Can you imagine that? No Christmas. No Christmas. One day a stranger from a far country came to town. He was an old man by the name of Matthew. 'What?' he cried when he discovered that nobody knew about Christmas. 'Not one of you remembers the message of the angels? Well, we'll see about that.' So Matthew was a kind old man and very merry. In his younger days, he had been a carpenter." See, he was making some toys there. "He knew how to make many things out of just scraps of wood. He would carve them out. He made tops and whistles, dolls, jumping jacks, all made with his pocket knife. Children trailed after him, wondering what he would make next for them. Wives, when they heard the happy whistle, called to each other, 'Here comes Matthew. Perhaps he'll mend my doorstep today. When Matthew comes, I'll ask him for a new window box where I can plant flowers outside of my house.' The men liked to have him come around too. He hiked into the hills with them and showed them the best places to go fishing. He was retired. He didn't have to work anymore, so he had time to help them with their jobs. 'The city is a different place,' they said, 'since Matthew came to town.' 'Yes,' agreed the other people. 'People are smiling again and doing things for one another. It seems like there are fewer, uglier words are being spoken too.' Old Matthew was saddened by the thought that nobody could remember Christmas. And more than that, they didn't remember the real Christmas story. Late in the year, when the snow started to fall, the winds blew, he sat near his kitchen stove and he began to carve something brand new. 'What is it?' the children said. 'Tell us, what are you making for us now?' While he carved, Matthew began to tell them the Christmas story. He told how the angel appeared to Mary and how Mary went to the hill country to carry the good news to her cousin Elizabeth." See him carving there? Beautiful angel he's carving. "This is an angel," he told the children when he had finished. Sure enough, the wooden figure was a life-size angel. The children looked at the angel and touched it. They loved it very much. "What are you working on now?" they said. "Oh, this is going to be Mary," Matthew said. He pointed to a large piece of wood leaning against the wall. "And that right over there, that's going to be Joseph." "Hurry," began the children. "Hurry, so it'll be finished in time for Christmas. And we can see the whole story." Old Matthew had told them so much about the Christmas season that all the families in town decided to celebrate it this year. For the first time in anybody's memory, the city was going to celebrate Christmas. Everyone was humming and whistling and singing carols that Matthew had taught them. Mothers were stirring up pudding and baking cookies. Fathers were saying, "Come, children, we'll go out in the woods and cut down a beautiful Christmas tree." Children were very busy with colored paper chains and foil stars to hang on their Christmas tree. People were hiding marvelous Christmas packages. Everybody was happy because Christmas was in the air. My father might like to help finish the figures for the Christmas creche, suggested one little boy a week before Christmas. He knows how to carve too. Mine does too, chimed in another child. And then a third said, "My mother knows how to paint. I'm sure she would help with the characters in the creche." Matthew smiled. The smile on his wrinkled face was a wonderful sight to see. "You can all help," he said. "Tell your families to come by my house tonight and I'll show them what to do." Every night thereafter, the moms, the dads, the children would gather around Matthew's Christmas kitchen stove and they would carve and paint and listen to the Christmas story. Before many days passed, the statues of Joseph and Mary, the angel Gabriel, the shepherds, a donkey, some sheep, some cows were all completed. "Before next Christmas, we'll build a church building," one father said. "But this year, where will we meet and put the creche?" "My tool shop is heated," said another man. "We'll clean it out and use it like a stable. We still have the baby Jesus to carve," they said one little girl. "He'll be in the creche by Christmas," promised Matthew. So Christmas Eve was one night away. Long after the people had gone to bed, Matthew sat up and put the finishing touches on the statues. The next morning, he got up very early and he left the city. All day long, the people wondered, "Where is Matthew gone?" They were busy cleaning the shop, making it into a stable to look like the place where Jesus was born. Before they knew it, evening had come and Matthew was nowhere to be found. The whole city was astir. "Perhaps he was called away and had an errand to run," the people said. "Surely he'll come back before morning and bring the baby Jesus to put in the manger." 7 o'clock, no Matthew. 8 o'clock, no Matthew. 9 o'clock, how can we tell the children there's no Matthew? Maybe we can say a prayer at the stable because there's no baby Jesus. Sadly, the mom wiped tears out of her eyes. "Hush now," said another mother. "I have an idea," she whispered. She said something in her husband's ear, and then he exclaimed, "Yes, I'll tell the people that the stable is ready." And off they went. When the people of the city came to the stable that night, the light was shining into the stable. It was warm, and it smelled of fresh hay. There in the crib was a real baby, peacefully sleeping under soft blanket. Someone had put their own baby in the crib. "A real live baby," said the people, as they knelt and they prayed and they thanked God for the real meaning of Christmas. "That's the message old Matthew was trying to bring to us," said one dad, the father of the real baby. On the first Christmas, God came to the earth as a real live baby. Remember, Matthew always said, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. A murmur arose among the people as they said to one another, "It's a holy night. He is with us again. God is here in the flesh." And before leaving the stable, a child leaned down to kiss the baby lying in the manger, and she whispered softly, "He is with us again. God has come to our city." Do you suppose that Matthew might have been God's messenger who brought the true meaning of Christmas back to the city? Let's pray together. And Lord, I thank you for this story that yet again reminds us of the true meaning of Christmas. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, children, y'all can go back to your seats and sit with your parents today. In the story, Matthew was a messenger. He was a messenger sent by God. I want to read several passages of Scripture to you as we conclude our service today that talk about the messengers, the angels that attended the whole event. First in Luke chapter 1, the story of Zechariah. And Zechariah was in the sanctuary when an angel of the Lord appeared standing right at the incense altar. Zechariah was overwhelmed with fear, and the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for God has heard your prayer, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You're to name him John. You'll have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice with you at the birth, for he'll be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or hard liquor, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. He'll persuade many Israelites to turn to the Lord their God. He'll be a man with the spirit and the power of Elijah and the prophets of old. He'll precede the coming of the Lord, preparing the people for his arrival. He'll turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. He'll change disobedient minds to accept godly wisdom." And Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I know this will happen? I'm an old man, and my wife is also well along in years." And then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It is he who sent to bring the good news to you." The story about Zechariah and all the angels that came, it was a story important enough for angels to deliver it. Those must have been very important people to God. In fact, we must be very important people to God, that he would send the very best to us. How important are you to God today? The story that I just read tells about the forerunner, John the Baptizer, who would come. Now, Zechariah would not be able to speak until the birth of his son, John, because he doubted the Lord. But John would go ahead of Jesus, telling about the one who would come. He would walk in the very spirit of Elijah. God went to great lengths to prepare the way for his message. Think for a moment today on this Christmas Day 2011 to what great lengths God went to prepare his story to come to you. All the people that he used in your life. I called a few people this morning just to tell them how much I loved them and how much I thank God for them. What they meant in my life. One of them was Clement Amati over in Nigeria. He said to let you know he was praying for you today. Then an angel came to Mary. From Luke 1 it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel again on a mission with a message to Nazareth, the village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be frightened, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for God has decided to bless you. You'll become pregnant, have a son, and you're to name him Jesus. He'll be very great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'How can this be that I'll have a baby? I'm a virgin.' The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so the baby will be born to you, will be holy. He'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. And people used to say that she was barren, but she's already in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. I'm willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you've said come true." And then the angel left. The promised king, the promised Messiah, was announced by an angel to Mary, this teenage girl. Imagine it. He was the one who would bring the impossible to pass. And what greater impossibility is that a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, lost in sin, separated from God for all eternity, would be able to span the gap. And through Jesus, that's what happened. The Son of God, who would die in our place on the cross. Then an angel came to Joseph. Matthew tells the story. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. As he considered this, he fell asleep. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid. Go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. She'll have a son. You'll name him Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins." All this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through the prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and he'll be called Emmanuel," which means when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, and she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Yeshua, Jesus. He was the one who would forgive people of their sins. Has he forgiven you of your sin? Have you claimed him as your Savior forever? He's announced to be Emmanuel, God with us. Is he with you right now? I'm looking at a few of you that are really going through, pardon the French, a hell hole right now in your life. And the only one who can absolutely say every time, "I will be with you," is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus. Then the angels came. Now we're going to get more than one. Came to the shepherds in Luke 2. "And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the village inn. That night some shepherds were in the fields outside the village, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. The radiance of the Lord's glory surround them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a..." Which is... The Messiah, born in Bethlehem. This is how you'll recognize him. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You see? Savior. Is he your Savior? And you see, he's not just Savior for future. In fact, when they were screaming out on Palm Sunday, screaming out as he passed by, "Save now, save now." Now, he is your Savior now. And then the angels came to the shepherds again, beginning in verse 13. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And when the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Come, let us go to Bethlehem, see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." Peace. Proclaiming peace. I wish I had a nickel for every time that word has been used in government around the world today. And yet not one of them can provide it. Armies of the world cannot provide peace, because peace, real peace, is an inside out job. It starts on the inside. And the more you shake, the more circumstances rattle your soul, the more of that peace pours out and washes over you. No storm of life can take it away. Peace, goodwill toward men, real peace. Do you have peace? Then an angel came to Joseph. Matthew chapter 2. After the wise men were gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Again, "Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother." And the angel said, "Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod's going to try to kill the child." And that night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary. And they stayed there until Herod's death. And this fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet, "I will call my son out of Egypt." So, what did the scripture say? Born in Bethlehem. Was he born in Bethlehem? Said he would come out of Egypt. Did he come out of Egypt? Yes. And the scripture says, and he will be called a Nazarene. That's where he grew up. All fulfilling the scripture. He is the Son of God. Have you recognized him? And have the people in your life recognized him? And finally, to Joseph again. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and told him, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel. Because those who are trying to kill the child, they're dead." Joseph returned immediately to Israel with Jesus and his mother. When he had learned that the new ruler was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid. Then in another dream, he was warned to go into Galilee. And so they went and they lived in a town called Nazareth, which fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet concerning the Messiah. He will be called a Nazarene. You see, he was all God and he was all man at the same time. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, because he was all man also, that means what the scripture speaks about him, he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what you're feeling every day. We're going to open the altar. I'm not going to have anybody standing around today. But if you'd like to come today and pray, come with your family and pray at the altar today, or sit where you are and pray together as a family. I think Christmas Day just might be a good day to do that. I'll be here if you want someone to talk to. Let's pray. Thank you for your presence now, Lord Jesus. And on this day in which we celebrate your first coming, your first advent, Jesus, we give you all honor, glory, and praise. Father, thank you for sending the Son to be our Savior, to come, to live amongst us, a Savior who knows us and who loves us. Lord, I pray for everyone, the sound of my voice right now, that may be doubting, does anyone really love me? What if they knew who I really was, who I am inside? Lord, I thank you that you have reached out in unconditional love and that you love us just like we are. But you love us enough to want us to change, to be like you, so we can be with you forever. And I pray that blessing, that Christmas blessing. Lord, I pray a blessing of forgiveness over us today. Forgiveness. Lord, just as you forgave us, let us forgive others. Experience the blessing. Christmas. The altar's open.
our God. So call upon His name. He is mighty to save. This is our God. So call upon His name. He is mighty to save. This is our God.
This way, if you will. We'd sure like to get those cards from you if you have an offering to bring. I believe there's a basket in the back. Basket's up here. We'd sure like to get those cards from you today, your prayer request. Make sure you say, praise the Lord for all the answers to prayer we have all around us. Bill Palmer is sitting somewhere right over there. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. We are so glad you're here, man, and on the wings of the prayers of God's people. And we praise the Lord for that. And we have the president of Nigeria here. Good luck, Jonathan, is here. Where is he? He's right back there. That's one of the barns, the Sons of Thunder. It's back there. Make sure you embarrass him thoroughly. Glad to have my eldest here with me today. Brandon, all this musical ability he got from me, because I hadn't got none anymore. We have many others that have family with them today. Huh? My mother, that answer to prayer, it is a Merry Christmas. God bless us, everyone. Quote old Scrooge, we know how to keep Christmas well now. Praise the Lord for our healing. Make sure you see one another before you leave today. And don't forget the brunch next Sunday. And what'd Tiny Tim say? God bless us, everyone.